Welcome to Audio Notes. I'm David Finkel, Artistic Director of Music at Menlo, and it is my great pleasure to welcome you to the festival's 2018 season, Creative Capitals. Time and again, from 14th century Florence to fin de siècle Paris and New York during the Harlem Renaissance, Western civilization's greatest artistic triumphs have emerged from the fertile ground of thriving metropolises. Fueled by the exchange of ideas and the incubation of great art, leading artists and innovators have gathered, turning these cities into cultural epicenters. Music at Menlo's 2018 season celebrates seven of Western music's most flourishing cultural centers: London, Paris, St. Petersburg, Leipzig, Berlin, Budapest, and Vienna, cities whose spirit many of history's greatest composers have helped to define through their music. Audio Notes are designed to enhance your enjoyment and deepen your appreciation of the music you'll be hearing at the festival. I'll be joined by Artistic Co-Director Wu Han and Audio Notes author and producer Patrick Castillo to offer historical and cultural context and a variety of perspectives on this summer's concert programs. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to seeing you at the concerts. When Telemann turned down the post of Leipzig music director and cantor, the city begrudgingly offered the position to its second choice, Johann Sebastian Bach. Bach's years in Leipzig produced some of the greatest music ever composed, from the St. Matthew Passion and B minor Mass to scores of keyboard concerti, thus cementing that city's place as one of music history's most important locales. A century later, two of the Romantic era's greatest composers would likewise call Leipzig home: Mendelssohn, who served as director of the Leipzig Gewandhaus Orchestra, and Robert Schumann, whose mighty piano quintet concludes this summer's fourth concert program.
In 1723, the 38-year-old Johann Sebastian Bach was elected to the position of music director and cantor in Leipzig, where he directed all musical activities at the city's two churches, the Thomaskirche and Nikolaikirche. Bach would remain in Leipzig until his death in 1750, and produced many of his mature masterpieces during his time there. In fulfillment of his church duties during this period, Bach created his greatest sacred works, including the cantatas, the St. Matthew and St. John Passions, and the Mass in B minor. But Bach's second decade in Leipzig saw the creation of much of his great instrumental music as well. In 1729, Bach assumed the directorship of the Collegium Musicum, a concert series presented by local musicians and students, which had been founded in 1702 by Georg Philipp Telemann. The Collegium presented weekly concerts for the Leipzig Kulturradi, primarily at the consequently iconic Zimmermann's Coffee House near the city center. Bach programmed music by Telemann, Corelli, Vivaldi, and other leading composers of the day, and also composed much new music himself for the series. With the Collegium as a newly available outlet for Bach's creativity in addition to the church, the 1730s saw a revitalized output of keyboard, chamber, and orchestral music to match the inspired catalog of sacred vocal music composed over the previous decade. Harpsichord concertos comprised a significant part of Bach's compositional output for the Collegium Musicum in the 1730s. Around 1738 to 1739, he wrote seven harpsichord concertos, mostly transcriptions of earlier concertos for wind or string instruments. In addition to these, Bach also composed several years prior a number of concertos for multiple harpsichords, which are likewise transcriptions of earlier works. The first of the eight harpsichord concerti, the Concerto in D minor, BWV 1052, is a transcription of a violin concerto, now lost, likely composed during his time in Curtin.
The concerto's powerful opening presents the stern ritornello in unsmiling octaves. A solo keyboard episode follows, precipitating an intricate dialogue between soloist and strings. The ritornello theme forms the basis of the entire movement, yet Bach nevertheless achieves a great spectrum of colors and expressive characters as the soloist steers the ensemble through various keys. On display, too, is Bach's signature contrapuntal complexity. A pithy keyboard cadenza appears midway through the movement. Not the bravura display placed before the movement's final breath, as would become the custom in, say, Mozart's piano concerti, but a short, expressive gesture, followed by further discourse between keyboard and strings. Later, hushed ululations of alternating 16-note chords between the soloist's right and left hands, colored by atmospheric strings, herald the ritornello's emphatic final statement. The slow second movements of Bach's minor key concerti typically appear in major to offset the prevailing moodiness. But the concerto's adagio is set in G minor and retains the first movement's dourness. As in the opening allegro, the adagio begins in pallid octaves, presenting a bass ostinato that underpins the movement. Meditative string lines surround arioso melody in the soloist's right hand. Following the slow movement's quiet introspection, the concerto concludes with the energetic ritornello form finale. ¶¶
So musically precocious was the young Georg Philipp Telemann. He had taught himself to play the recorder, violin, and zither, and composed numerous works, including an opera, by the age of 12. That his parents feared a career in music inevitable, and confiscated his instruments. In 1701, Telemann went to Leipzig to study law. As per his mother's demands, he abandoned music. But the renunciation of his art, thankfully, was short-lived. Telemann's roommate discovered a psalm setting among his personal effects, which was performed at the Thomaskirche, and Leipzig's mayor subsequently commissioned Telemann to compose music for services at the city's two churches every other week. Telemann steadily became one of Leipzig's preeminent musical figures, spurred in large part by his founding directorship of the Collegium Musicum, whose directorship Bach would later assume. Telemann came to be recognized in his lifetime as his generation's finest composer. He was likewise one of the most versatile and prolific composers of his era. His oeuvre comprises an extensive catalog of instrumental music, including solo, keyboard, chamber, and orchestral works, numerous annual cycles of church cantatas, as well as oratorios, masses, and other sacred music, and a varied range of secular vocal music, from songs to serenatas and cantatas to opera. The secular cantatas, commissioned for weddings, birthday celebrations, civic ceremonies, and other events, constitute a motley body of work. Perhaps the strangest of them is the cantata of funeral music for an artistically trained canary bird whose demise brought greatest sorrow to his master, commissioned by the bereaved master of the work's title.
The cantata, known by the less unwieldy handle Canary Cantata, is a purposely tragic-comic work. Its humor lies in Telemann's deployment of the heady affect of Italian opera in service of such an utterly mundane subject. The singer keens inconsolably in the cantata's opening aria, "Oh woe, oh woe, my canary is dead."
Mein Kanari ist tot. Oh wie, mein Kanari ist tot. Oh wie, mein Kanari ist tot. Oh wie, mein Kanari ist tot.
The following recitative signals a resigned acceptance. This is what happens to the joy of a little bird and to the things of this world, but his joy is gone now. He lies prostrate and is covered with black earth.
So geht's mit der Vogelfreude und mit den Dingen dieser Welt. Die Unlust ist den Lüsten beigesellt. Die Freud vergeht mit dem Leide. Ja, ja, der schlaue Vogel kann dies lehren.
The second aria gives further voice to the desperate sadness of the bereaved as he sings, "You lovely canaries, bemoan my joy and your beauty."
Ihr lieblichen Kanarienvögel, beklaget meine Freud und eure Zier. Ihr lieblichen Kanarienvögel, beklaget meine Freud und eure Zier. Beklaget, 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 beklaget meine Freud und eure Zier.
The master next addresses Death. "Only you, you alone, O Death, were unmoved by the delightful sound, for you have cruelly and arrogantly devoured the precious little thing."
Nur
nur dir, dir grausamer Tod allein, konnt der Verliebte tun, doch nicht beweglich sein. Denn du hast grob und vermessen den teuren Bissen weggefressen.
The cantata assumes a buffa character in the following aria, whimsical arpeggios and quick, repeated notes, allegro in a major key. Eat, so that your neck swells up, eat, you impudent intruder! Death, we shall learn, came to the mourned canary in the form of a cat. Let the bird scratch and tear you to pieces, the master continues spitefully, and bite at your stomach and intestines until you spew them out.
Dass dir der Hals anschwelle, frisst du unverschämter Gast. Frisst, dass dir der Hals anschwelle, frisst du unverschämter Gast. Frisst du unverschämter Gast.
The music becomes tender for the master's sentimental farewell. My canary, good night.
Mein Canary.
Fanny Hensel, née Mendelssohn, like her brother Felix, a precociously gifted pianist and composer, though inevitably overshadowed by him on account of her gender, hosted bi-weekly Sunday musicales at her home in Berlin. It was for one of these gatherings that Felix Mendelssohn created, on Saturday, February 10, 1844, a four-hand piano arrangement of his variations in B-flat major, opus 83, composed in 1841. Mendelssohn biographer R. Larry Todd paints a cozy picture of brother and sister preparing for the show. Quote, as Felix copied out a duet arrangement of his variations, opus 83, Fanny took the sheets one by one to the piano and began to practice. On Sunday, the two of them premiered the new work, end quote. The Andante and Variations in B-flat major for piano forehands, published as Mendelssohn's opus 83A, received its public premiere later that year, on June 25 in London.
The theme, a gently flowing melody marked Andante Tranquillo, is virtually identical to the two-hand version. In the four-hand transcription, primo and secondo pianists simply divide the theme into alternating phrases. The first variation hews closely to the original, garnishing the theme with syncopated ornaments. as the variations proceed, Opus 83A diverges from Opus 83. Following the first variation, the music becomes increasingly spirited. The second variation, marked animato, is driven by staccato triplet chords. The third and fourth are propelled by swirling 32nd note runs. The fifth variation unleashes a giddy fusillade of densely voiced chords. The music turns abruptly severe with the sixth variation in gloomy G minor. Supporting a marked transfiguration of the theme in the primo part, the secondo nods to Beethoven's Fifth Symphony with its characteristic four-note rhythmic motif. Variation 7 restores the theme's tranquility. The climatic 8th variation, marked Allegro Molto Agitato, provides the work's most dramatic moment, setting the stage for the vivacious coda.
Robert Schumann's compositions appear in clusters over the course of his creative career. The 1830s primarily saw the creation of piano works. 1840 was his year of Lieder, followed by a year of symphonic music. In 1842 came Schumann's most significant chamber pieces. Between February and July of that year, he completed his three string quartets, each dedicated to Felix Mendelssohn. In the fall, he composed two companion pieces. First, the piano quintet, Opus 44, and then a month later, the piano quartet, Opus 47. Both were composed for Clara Schumann. The quintet, which paved the way for such seminal works as the piano quintets of Brahms and Dvorak, took Schumann all of 3 weeks to complete. The work's fiendish piano part testifies to Clara Schumann's virtuosic ability at the keyboard. Unfortunately, illness prevented her from taking part in the premiere, and Mendelssohn, likewise one of the 19th century's foremost pianists, filled in at the last minute, sight-reading at the performance.
The quintet is rife with searing expressivity, discernible, as with much of Schumann's music, as a dialogue between the composer's alter egos. Florestan, the extroverted and masculine in 18th century parlance, and Eusebius, the feminine voice of tenderness and pathos. An ebullient energy drives the opening Allegro Brillante. The first theme comprises two powerful ascending leaps, answered by eight emphatic chords, unquestionably the work of Florestan, but Eusebius immediately transforms their stentorian might into a soft, loving gaze. The lyrical second theme, an enchanting duet between the cello and viola, contrasts the exclamatory first theme. The development section is all nervous energy, its devilishly intricate piano part audibly conceived with Clara Schumann's virtuosity in mind. The second movement is a somber funeral march. Schumann offsets the movement's solemnity with an expressive second theme. A faster agitato section combines the two themes in a show of romantic pathos before reprising the march. As if rising from the dead, the third movement scherzo follows the elegiac march with ecstatic ascending scale figures. This music is interrupted briefly by a poetic trio section. And later by a longer, fiery second trio. The final movement recalls the first in its unrelenting character. A literal reprise of the first movement's opening theme, combined with the finale's own main theme in a magical fugue, brings the work to a blazing finish.
Audio notes are authored and produced by Patrick Castillo and narrated by David Finkel, Patrick Castillo, and Wu Han. Additional mastering is provided by Dahong Situ. Musical excerpts appear courtesy of the following artists and organizations. Johann Sebastian Bach's Keyboard Concerto in D Minor, BWV 1052, is performed by Jeremy Denk, Annika Vafian, Aaron Keefe, Jessica Lee, Kristen Lee, Adam Barnett Hart, Sean Lee, Paul Neubauer, Richard O'Neill, Fred Sherry, Nicholas Kanalakis, and Edgar Meyer, and appears courtesy of the Chamber Music Society of Lincoln Center. Georg Philipp Telemann's Canary Cantata is performed by Rainer Seuss, Peter Meering, Wolfram Just, and Peter Shikora, and appears courtesy of Brilliant Classics. Felix Mendelssohn's Andante and Variations for Piano Four Hands, Opus 83A, is performed by Alessandra Amara and Roberto Procera, and appears courtesy of Decca Classics. Robert Schumann's Piano Quintet is performed by Aaron Keefe, Arno Sussman, Paul Neubauer, Roberto Diaz, and Wu Han, and appears courtesy of Music at Menlo Live. Audio notes are a copyrighted production of Artist Led.